Welcome to Serviced Accommodation Secrets with me, Sally Kemba. This is the podcast where you get the on-the-ground experience that we're living and breathing with our serviced accommodation units. So you get to share our hacks and tips, our mistakes, so you can learn from those and thrive on our success. Welcome to this episode of Serviced Accommodation Secrets with me, Sally Kemba. What we're going to look at in this episode is how to work out the location and the target market for your serviced accommodation units. When you're starting out in serviced accommodation, there are lots and lots of factors to make decisions about. And one of these things is that you can actually operate serviced accommodation pretty much anywhere. And obviously you have to assess demand, but there are really key things to help you decide where you're going to set it up and what you're going to get from it. So what I want to go through is five key points that will really help you work out what you can do to plan out your serviced accommodation business and how to make it successful for you in terms of what you want in your life. So first thing is think about the time that you're going to have spending on your business and the time you're going to have doing other things that are important to you, and that's what you want to balance, and also the money that you want to make from it. So these two things are thinking about starting with the end in mind, and that really is the best way to help you decide where to run your SA and which market to aim at. Other aspects, such as whether you're buying the property or maybe already have a property, whether you're looking to operate a property on a rent-to-rent basis, or whether you're going to manage the property as serviced accommodation for a landlord or for a freeholder, also come into this. But that's another area, and we'll save the detail of that topic for another episode. So really, we're focusing on your location and what your market is going to be. So who is actually going to stay in your serviced accommodation? So the first thing to think about, let's go into it. What do you actually want from your serviced accommodation business ultimately? Your time and the money. And the location is the second thing. So whereabouts is it going to be? Towns, cities, amenities, and so on. The third thing is there a demand? Because you want to be offering something that is a valuable service to people, giving value. So you need to actually establish if there is a demand for it. And the fourth thing is to research thoroughly what is currently on offer so that your business is going to fit into that. You may be slightly higher end or lower end of what's around, but you need to do that research. And the fifth thing is to go into your numbers in a lot of detail, do a cash flow forecast and a business plan for it. So let's get started on the first point. So why are you doing serviced accommodation? Why are you looking to have a serviced accommodation business? Is it to free up your time so that you can do other things because you're going to have money coming in? The cash flow element of the business is really important. So the money enables you to do other things, and you need to work out what amount of profit you actually want from your business. So rather than saying what's left at the end, decide in advance what kind of cash flow you want on a monthly basis or an annual basis from a property over that time that's going to be viable for you actually doing it at all. And how long do you actually want to spend on it? Do you want to hand it over to somebody else to manage for you? So you literally provide a property if you're a property owner, so you'd be the landlord, or if you've got a rent-to-rent agreement, do you want to hand that over to a service accommodation management company? And are you looking to free up your time but have that business going on? A quick tip on that, if you do outsource it completely, it is a really good idea to have an awareness of how service accommodation operates. So I would still suggest you do training in the beginning so you actually know what it's all about, so that if there are any issues, you actually have an understanding of what's going on. And also, if you are reliant, say, on one management company and then you have to go to a different one for whatever reason, perhaps if one stopped doing it altogether or stopped doing it in your area or something, you need to have a fallback plan. So you need to know something about it as well. It's not just a case of handing it over completely. And the other thing is, if you've had training and you want to self-manage to use the knowledge that you've now gained, that can be a great thing to do. You will need to spend time up front working to get the business up and running, to set up the service accommodation, to get your guests coming and keep them happy, to have whole systems in place for getting those bookings in the first place, and then looking after those guests. And once you've got the systems in place, you can then outsource that as well. You're going to have a cleaning team. You need a really valuable person who is your supervisor or housekeeper. So we have an awesome one. And that is actually a single point of failure. So I would say I need more than one, especially as we scale. And if you do that, you're going to have a lot of time up front, as I mentioned. But as time goes on, you'll be able to hand over more of that, because this is not a business that you can run on your own. You can't run it completely by yourself. You need to actually have a team. You need to have office staff, if you like, but they can easily be VAs in the UK or overseas. Some people actually have family businesses, so they might run their SA with their grown-up children working in it. So I know quite a few people who do that. And, you know, you may have people in property who want to work with you. So it's what you want to do. Do you want to spend time working in the business initially? So you don't want to turn it into a job. You do want to work on the business and oversee it after a while, once you've got it up and running. Or do you want to be hands-free? It's up to you. And working out your numbers is going to enable you to work out the profit that you can actually get from the serviced accommodation units that you get up and running. So you need to have that figure in your plan. So have it in your head and then make a plan so that you know what you're aiming for and that the business is actually working. Because the point of it is to offer a valuable service that's really great for people, but your exchange is the money. So this ties in with where you're going to actually have your service accommodation located. So number two, location. This does relate to you personally for a couple of reasons. So if you're completely hands-free, maybe you oversee a little bit, you know, you get your reports and so forth of what's happening on a monthly basis. So you know what your turnover was, what your profit was, all sorts of other KPIs, what's actually happening in your business. You get those reports. But if you're not actually needing to be near it, it could be anywhere in the country. It could be overseas as well. So it could be anywhere. If you are looking to run that business yourself initially, it could be in your town or city where you live or nearby. And for our point of view, what happened was we actually live in a village near a town that isn't necessarily that great for serviced accommodation. It's not got the right kind of mix of business there. It's a market town, hasn't got enough industry, I wouldn't have said. But there are other towns further away from us. And actually, where we have our serviced accommodation in Red Hill, it is 35 minutes minimum, up to 50 minutes drive. So about 3/4 hour away from us driving. So it's not that near to where we live. Now, that's really important, because I have this tendency to want to get involved and tweak things even when I don't need to actually be there. And it's really helpful that it is further away from our home than just a quarter of an hour's drive or something, because otherwise I tend to go and try and make things perfect, even though actually my team and people involved in our business are great and they do things better than I do. But it's just a control freak in me that actually I didn't know I had until we had a service accommodation business. So mindset's really interesting in regards to this. It's quite fascinating. So it's really useful actually to have it further away. What you might want to do is a similar thing. If you're running it yourself, you don't want to be constantly there. Equally, you don't really want it 2 hours away because that's a bit too far. So it's a balance, really. And maybe you live in an amazing town, like lots of people operate in places like Oxford, Cambridge, you know, loads of different places, more industrial areas. And it's surprising where it works. It works in so many cities. I remember David Siegler talking about his Oldham holiday lets, which is quite crazy, isn't it? But you can have service accommodation really anywhere in the country that there is a demand. So some people have properties in the Isle of Skye. So a couple who are on our mastermind with Progressive, they have a property that they bought and refurbished on the Isle of Skye. It's very seasonal. So really the high season is 6 months and it's beautiful there. Not that easy to get to, obviously, but it's a great tourist area. You may have individuals who want to spend a quiet time somewhere like that, possibly even in, you know, the lower season. But you can charge much higher rates for that 6 months. So it may be that you have service accommodation somewhere that has a very high peak season, but then you may even need to shut it in the winter or turn it to a different use. But it's good if you can have it ticking over all year round. And I would say that's, on the whole, essential. So you tend to have tourists more in the high season, holidays, various times of year. So Easter, summer holidays, of course, different half terms for children in school, school holidays. And they kind of dry up during term time, probably. You will have overseas tourists who have different kind of holidays. I'm talking UK market there. You know, in America, you have much earlier holidays. All around the world, you have different times for tourists to come. So in China, people travel to the UK a lot in our autumn. So all different times of the year, you'll have all different types of tourists. And so that could be your market. But wherever you are, unless it's somewhere distinctive like Skye that isn't that easy to get to, on the whole, you want really good amenities. So in towns and cities, you want to be near a railway station. It may be that there's an airport nearby, like we're really lucky. We've got Gatwick Airport just down the road from us, about a quarter of an hour away, 10 minutes on the train. The railway station's 5 minutes walk from where our apartments are. There are really good road links. And we aim at corporate guests. So they need these really good travel links and we can help them with things like taxi shuttles and things like that. Whether perhaps they might have come from Heathrow. I helped a lady recently who was flying in from Bangkok to Heathrow and then she needed a shuttle to Gatwick and then a taxi over to our apartments, and she was very happy because we sorted all that out for her. All those kinds of things come into play, but if you're near these amenities, it makes life a lot easier for your guests, and that's your whole thing. You're trying to make your guests' experience easy so that they A, have a great time, and B, want to keep coming back. So it's great if you've got things like a corner shop or, you know, co-ops that stay open from 7 to 11. That's really helpful for people, or other nice amenities, because it, the whole idea of serviced accommodation is that people aren't just in the four walls of a hotel room. If they're on their own in particular, traveling for business or just as a lone traveler, it's awkward going down to dinner on your own and people are in the confines of their room. So having serviced accommodation is a bit like having a whole hotel suite. So it works really well for people. They can relax. They can cook if they want. They can warm up some sort of ready meal, or they can eat out and just relax, make a cup of tea. And, you know, it's just really nice. And, you know, they've got great Wi-Fi and broadband, and they can just feel like they're at home. A home from home experience is really what we're aiming for, whether we've got tourists or whether we've got corporate guests. Because as I say, corporate guests are our key guests, but we do also have tourists at the weekends in particular. So the location needs to have really great facilities like that. And if it's a tourist area, obviously you want to be telling your guests about lots of leisure facilities, sightseeing, points of local interest, so maybe stunning views. Like, we actually have some beautiful places in the Surrey Hills, like, and Leith Hill. There's a Leith Hill Tower. You get amazing views of the surrounding countryside. But if you're near a city, you know, you've got amazing landmarks and sightseeing and all sorts of activities that people can do. So if you're aiming for tourists, you need to make sure you know where these are and seasonal events that are happening in those areas. So, for example, we have quite a few bookings for this October because it's the British Masters Golf Tournament nearby. So like 6-7 miles up the road, there's a little village called Wharton on the Hill, and there's a great big golf course there. So that's taking place in October, and we pretty much fully booked for that. We did have an enormous booking. We actually didn't have enough apartments to accommodate, sadly, but now we've got lots of separate bookings instead. But because we know about that, we can promote that and put it on our online travel agent portals as well in our descriptions for that period. And so if you know about that, you can also increase your rates if, you know, you've got strong demand that you're filling easily, because that can just help you, because in the winter it might be quieter and you might struggle to get longer term bookings and tourists in. So it's to give a fair service for people. But if you're going to just sell out because your rate is too low, you know, it's reasonable to charge a reasonable amount to guests and give them good value. So that was location. The third thing, you need to assess whether there is actually a demand. So which types of guests need to stay in the area? What kind of guests typically stay in your area? So this is helping you work out who your target market actually is. Are there hotels in the area already? Are there premier inns? Are there lots of B&Bs? Are there already separate apartments being used for short stays, for serviced accommodation? Other types of short stay accommodation in the area? There might be log cabins, there might be yurts, there might be quirky things like that, and maybe boats, something like that. So all sorts of different things, as well as cottages for holiday lets, that type of thing. So you can search on booking.com and Airbnb, the two main online travel agents, look on their portals and have a look at who's advertising which type of accommodation and how many there are of each and how booked up they seem to be. You can also get information about, you know, how guests have found their experience and things like that. So you can see what people want. So maybe if people gave a review that was great, you think, okay, I can offer that. And if there was a review that said, oh, this wasn't very good, whatever it was, I don't know, facilities of some kind weren't there, then you'd know that if you offered that, potentially that guest would stay with you. So you can look at those kinds of things. And just see generally what kind of demand there is. So are there lots of businesses in the area? So where we are, there are a large number of insurance companies. And there is Total Oil, for example. There's Santander Bank. There are lots of big companies. There's a big hospital in the area as well. And other companies as well that have overseas workers coming in. So you could research those and actually approach those if you wanted to. Contact the potential sources of guests such as this. So contact these companies and hospitals and organizations and see if they have a need for short stay accommodation, for people coming for training, for people coming for projects. If it's for tourism, see what kind of events there are in the area. You know, maybe the local theatre needs places for the cast to stay for a production, something like that. Also, a great market that lots of people have tapped into in Crawley, for example, so some of my colleagues in Crawley, is the contractor market. So if there's lots of development going on in the area, you're going to have all the contractors, like the different trades, builders, carpenters, plumbers, electricians, and all of those people need somewhere to stay. So you may look for houses or landlords with houses that you could operate as serviced accommodation rooms. And they may be people who work in teams already, so they might already know each other within one company. Or they may be separate people who rent out rooms in your house, because they are more likely to stay for a long time, all the time they're on that contract, which is great because you've got a predictable income. And you know what they're going to need. So with guests who come in for short stays, so we have a 2-night minimum, you don't know, they're all going to want different things, different types of milk, different types of bread, different types of cereal or fruit in their welcome pack. They may want different configurations for the bed each time, and you have to change it every time. Whereas contractors potentially are slightly lower end because it's more like a tenancy, but it's not, because it's not their main home. They want just a nice place to come home to, and their bed setups are going to stay the same. They're not going to need quite so much attention. They know how the whole house works, so you don't get lots of separate inquiries from people. And it can be the same with the corporate market as well. So we've had people stay for 2 or 3 months, a month and a half and so forth, and they're just really happy. They just make themselves fully at home. They know how everything works. And if anything goes wrong, it's very rare. It's just, you know, one of those things, random things that happens. Whereas with tourists, it can be much more intense in terms of supporting them, because they're new every time they come to stay, unless they stay for a long, long time, like the whole summer, for example. But that's more unusual. So each time a new guest comes, you've got to show them how things work. So contractors could be great. So you could look around at what housing developments are going on, industrial developments, you know, business parks, other kinds of work that you can find out are going on, the vans of different people who are parked in hotels and so forth. So you can really see if there's a demand for people staying in the area. And for example, at Gatwick, there might be pilots coming for their training, and other industry within the airport, because there's loads of different businesses it takes to run an airport, of course, and, you know, training for different parts of those businesses as well. So I know quite a few people who operate in Crawley, and that's an area that we did originally look at doing. Actually seemed like perhaps it was a little bit saturated, but when there's a new wave of developments coming through, there'd be more need for short stay and serviced accommodation. And it may be that there already is, it's just that before you're established and before you actually know who needs the accommodation, it can be a struggle to get those long-term bookings for those companies. And we happened to research Redhill because we were looking to perhaps move away from Crawley, that potentially was saturated, it seemed at the time. Couldn't say if it is now. So don't take that as it is, because, you know, that's a while ago now. And we researched Redhill having all of these corporate offices, quite a few head offices, not just in the town, but also there's Reigate, which is pretty much joined on. And that's a bit more of a tourist kind of town as well. Redhill's a market town, but it does have a lot of these corporate businesses there. And in the outlying villages, there are also some head offices too. Which we didn't know until we did the research. So establish that there is actually a demand and for what kind of guests, because that will help you work out what kind of accommodation you're going to offer. And, you know, whether you want to be high end, somewhere in the middle, lower end, sort of more budget, you know, are you going to have high end boutique kind of style for tourists? Are you going to have contractors in there who just want somewhere really nice, clean, bright, easy? And we're somewhere in the middle. So for corporate guests, we've got really nice apartments, but we're not really high end. In London, you have to have things like coffee machines. We just have instant coffee sachets, as an example, because guests seem to be happy with that, unless they specifically request filter coffee, in which case we'll get it for them. So those things, working out the demand, then helps you work out what type of accommodation you're looking for. And further down the line, it would be how to set it up. But number four is doing your research. So you need to really research thoroughly what is on offer. So if you've chosen your location to research, you need to see all these different types of accommodation, whether it's apartments, hotels, and so forth, what they're offering in terms of rate. You need to look at weekdays. You need to look at weekends. Sometimes it can be that weekends you can command a higher rate because there's a demand, you can charge more, but less in the week. And we're actually the opposite to that. So weekdays, we can charge more to business guests because they're happy to pay it. There's a demand and they want to make sure they get their accommodation booked. Whereas at the weekend, there's slightly less demand for tourism in our area, although it's busy at the moment, because we're about a quarter of an hour, 10 minutes from Gatwick on the train and driving, and London's sort of 40 minutes away, straight into the centre of London, London Bridge or Victoria. So it has got good links for tourism, and there's a lot of really lovely spots nearby in the countryside. And as I said, Reigate, there's quite a few different things going on. That's not to mention as well the needs of people like estate agents, emergency things for tenants, and there are some private schools in the area which has helped us have guests, parents of children at those schools. Those are extra things. But so weekends are slightly quieter for us, so we would tend to do more weekend offers because we're not quite so busy then. And we've been booked up from February through to now with corporate guests who come every week, but they're not there at the weekends. So then we fill the weekends, and that does tend to be more so tourists, although we've had lots of random things, like a chap who was painting a mural for two nights. So he was working, but it was a weekend. So, you know, you never know, you're going to get random quirky things like that. But on the whole, we can charge more in the week and the weekends are less. So you want to be researching what your competition is doing and what you can have in terms of rates, so that what's currently on offer relates to what you're going to be charging. So you're in the ballpark, you're not too high, you're not too low. Obviously, if you're higher end, you're going to be a bit higher. If you're more budget, you're going to be at the lower end. Think about times of year. So look what people are charging now, what they're charging next month. So we tend to have an autumn winter rate, spring, and then summer rates are higher. You can look at things like Easter half terms, or in the UK, summer holidays throughout, you know, globally. We have so many travellers as well from all over the place via booking.com for weekends, especially at the moment. It's a bit bonkers. And so look at what people are charging in holidays. Does it vary? Do they always charge the same? And figure out what kind of rates you would be offering. And this is something that you would tweak and work through, but you need a general picture of what rate to charge. If there are loads and loads and loads and loads of people charging £40 a night in your area, then you're going to struggle to make any money, because for £40, you know, it's just at cost, really. So you need to be charging a reasonable amount. That's in the southeast, by the way, with the kind of rates that we have to pay in terms of rent and council tax, business rates, all that kind of thing. So you need to figure out, even if there are quite a few operators, that the amount that you'll be able to charge per night is actually going to make you money. So that brings me on to point five, which is your numbers. So you need to go into more detailed rates, and this is all before you're actually looking at a specific property. But once you know your specific property, you'll be able to do this absolutely for sure in detail. But your numbers will help you work out the rates for your area that you are going to be able to charge. So whether it's contractors, you know, so that's longer term, perhaps slightly lower budget. You might get more wear and tear there, by the way. Different people I know have experienced that. But also what you can find is that if you do your numbers and you include all of your setup costs, so include all of your outgoings, so your anticipated rents and all of your bills, so your water, electricity, gas, broadband, television, everything, what you can do is put in your setup costs as well. If you're guaranteeing rent or self-managing, you would usually finance the setup as well. And what you'll find is you'll end up with your overheads there, and then with your actual property that you're looking to take on, you can see what you could charge per night, what occupancy you can look at, so base it on one guest, and then 50% occupancy of the month, and then see what you would make, sort of gross, and then take off all of your overheads that we just went through. And what you can find is a good estimate of what your projected income is and your profit. So decide whether you want 40% profit, 20% profit, 10% profit. And that profit needs to be, as we talked about at the beginning, the profit that you have in mind in order to make it viable to do it. So when you go searching for properties, you're going to know roughly whether that type of property that you're looking to take on, whether it's rent to rent or whether you're looking to purchase the property, whether it's actually going to be viable for you. And you can see a projected income per stay that then equates into your monthly income, your annual income per property. So 50% occupancy is really good as a gauge, and just one guest, because we do actually charge a bit more, which is about 25% of a nightly rate. And it varies a little bit, but about that, for an extra guest. So what you want to do is be competitive. So you say you had three people and they were going to book a hotel room. They'd actually most of the time need two hotel rooms for three people. So you want to make it cost effective for them to have your service apartment, for example, for three people compared to two hotel rooms, which it's going to be. But also you want to make sure that you're making money, so covering your overheads and making some profit on those extra guests, because they will cost more in terms of linen, wear and tear, and, you know, using your electricity, water, etc. in the property as well. So what you're going to end up with is your numbers, and then that goes right back to the beginning. You can work out with your time and your money that you want to have, what kind of service accommodation business you want to have, whether it's hands-on or remote, and therefore that will help you ascertain the location. Does it need to be near you? Not too near. Can it be anywhere? So you're going to have to decide about that. Make sure there are amenities. Third thing, is there a demand? Make sure there is. What kind of guests are you going to be targeting? What is your target market? Research thoroughly what's on offer so that you're in the ballpark for your service accommodation rates and the kind of service that you're offering, because you want to be offering good value, over deliver, but equally you don't want to be too near, you know, your cost. You want to be making good profit. And then do your numbers so that you do know exactly what you're going to be looking at in terms of overhead, your rents, factor in your council tax as well as all your amenities and your setup costs if you're financing that. It may be that you can find a joint venture partner who will work with you to help with the setup costs, and they may just take an interest payment on that. You can do a JV where you have a profit share. It really works different ways for different people, what people prefer, but you will need setup costs if you're guaranteeing rent. But if you're working out a management business for your SA, then that's not something you would pay yourself. The owner, landlord or freeholder would finance the setup costs in that case, and you would purely manage the property as serviced accommodation for them. But that's for another episode. So this was all about your location and target market. That was a summary then of our 5 points, which I hope you'll find helpful, whether you're new to serviced accommodation and looking to start up, or whether you've been in it for a while. Hopefully there are some nuggets in there for you. So I look forward to seeing you all at my next Serviced Accommodation Secrets podcast. Thank you so much for listening.
Sharing the secrets of success.